Welcome, everybody,
I
to the O5 Command Show. That's at least what we're tentatively calling it. Joined today by Dr. Magnus, Technical Team Captain, Procyon Lotor, our Community Outreach Captain, and I believe Licensing Captain. We've got some junior staff with us as well. We'll call him TSAT. It's quite a long name. You'll see him, you'll know what I mean. I want to get into the thing that kicked this off. I was driving in the car. I'm like, I want to get some staff opinion on a couple of things. The big one was this SCP-4231 that there was a really breathless sort of posting to the subreddit, and I'll see if I can pull up the verbiage for it. But it was a lot of praise given to this. I open it up, and this thing is, I haven't put it into Word, but I'm going to say it's probably 20, 25 pages long. Is that fair?
That's pretty accurate, yeah. It's a
It,
really long one.
it, it's really long.
Oh,
And I think, it for being as long as it is, it's only, it's at, I believe, plus 36 after 4 or 5 days. It's not, it hasn't shot straight up the way that, you would think, given all of this breathless sort of praise that it's been receiving. It blurs the line between SCP and TAIL. If you guys haven't taken a look at it, just give that bad boy a little skim. And the first thing you notice is the format. It jumps back and forth between pure TAIL, SCP, addendum, supplement, TAIL. I haven't seen anything quite in that format. I was curious on your guys' thought on it.
my first impression when I saw it was, whoa, is this a main list SCP? And I had to scroll down a bit of a ways to even find the SCP number designation. I'm aware that the SCP format with object class, containment procedures, all that is more of a guideline. It's not quite a law. It's whatever you can get away with to get upvotes, right? Yeah.
So there's an interesting, there's actually two parts to how I feel about this, because there's a technical component to really what we consider SCPs, and then there's sort of what I feel about it as like a user. So from like a technical standpoint, the tags SCP and TAIL are mutually exclusive. They indicate what category of page a page is. And at this point, literally the only criteria for an SCP is it's in a mainless slot and it involves an SCP. So by those criteria, and now you can go on about formatting and does it include the object itself, does it do this, does it do that. By those criteria, at least from a technical standpoint, this is most definitely an SCP.
I remember you and I had a small spat about that from one of the series of four articles, which I think Accelerando decided to tag something with all that criteria as a tail.
Yeah, so I was actually in the wrong on that one, and that was when I had just taken over captaincy of the
Yeah, sorry
technical
to
team,
jump
actually.
down your throat there, but.
I mean, the requirements are vague on purpose, and actually, that's really one of the guiding axioms of like everything we do is like as much as we want there to be rules in place to follow, at the same time, we don't want them to become restrictive.
Now, that's my fault exactly. We have, about 4,100 of these damn things by now. If you're going to do the same thing every time, we'd have run out of steam by far. And some people claim that this sort of stuff is a gimmick, and occasionally I agree, but I believe this sort of thing sinks or swims on its own merits. Compelling if the format change is explicable or at least entertaining, it'll work. And if it doesn't, it won't. So it's kind of a self-resolving problem in my view.
Sure, and I
I
think
mean,
this blending of skip and tail, people will say, well, it's getting more and more down this road. But I was thinking like this made it made me think of nothing so much as 2718, which is the death is an SCP and it must be contained.
Atreuses? Yeah, that's it.
It was one of those where the format was a little different. It did sort of lead off with the with the object class and the description, but it very quickly changed gears on you and went to something really unique. And for that one, I believe it is just out of the top 100. It's got I think it's plus 550, plus 600. So the community seems to think that's just fine.
It's a damn good one.
It is.
It's a personal favorite. The thing...
541 at the time of this recording.
Yeah, the difference between these two, in my view, is this one's... the thing that makes this one a little weird is that it's broken into like concrete section, like creative sections, and not just like addendum. Like it is like chapter titles, which kind of makes it a lot different. Like it seems like it's almost more like a Tales series, which like, I mean, she's fine classifying it like this, but like it's organized differently because of that.
True. It has a table of contents. It has a little note at the bottom saying chapter one. I haven't seen anything do that yet.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, it comes down to what are people okay with as the format. In my experience and in my opinion as a writer, actually, this is something I've brought up multiple times, is it comes down to what you consider the point almost of the wiki to be. And this is where I start going off the pretentious artist land. But in my eyes, this has always been a collaborative writing project before anything else. And these days, it's become much more about the universe, the fandom, the lore, the this, the that. And those things have evolved organically out of the process of creating these thousands and thousands and thousands of articles, 8,800 if my database query is correct, over 10 years. But this was a piece of writing that, in my opinion, if you ignore the format quibbles, was really good. It was an excellent story. Like, $39.99 is another great example of, like, where people are like, oh, it's not an SCP, but like, doesn't matter almost? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's more for classification than any like in-universe consistency. Like, we need somewhere to put this crap. Oh, why not in 399 slot?
And 39.99, that was during the 3K contest. That was top five, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, 39.99. Yeah.
I think, don't quote me on this, it took second.
I think you're right. And
for it's the almost record, 1,000 now. But...
39.99 is one of the best pieces of writing that's ever been on our website. And I mean that wholeheartedly.
It's one I enjoy. It's not one I have as much enthusiasm about as some others. I don't think it's a bad piece. I think it's a fine piece. I just think there's something there that I may not be seeing.
That's fair. I mean, I didn't like Taboo, so, you know, it's all coming down to opinions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, we're also just coming off of the 4K contest. One of the reasons I've got invited Procyon Lotor here. Saw plenty. Zin made a little appearance last night, and that was about the most frustrated I've ever seen her. Thing. You can't take any damn SCP article and add a dinosaur and make it a history SCP article.
Frankly, those were pretty close to my standards. Like, I didn't want to be a fascist about it. Like the theme is to inspire people, not constrict. I wrote that somewhere. But yeah, I ran that. I think it was a pretty good result. I'm quite happy with how things turned out. It was pretty stressful. It was my first time running one of these. It's certainly a lot bigger deal than the normal contest, but I'm glad I did it. And if the current rate continues, I'll be doing it again in about a year. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and there was we talked a little bit about the rate that these 1,000 contests are happening, that if we get to where we're doing these more than once a year, we got to figure something else out. We got to either open up like blocks of 2,000 at a time and let first place gets their pick of one of the 1,000, second place gets the other, and then everybody else picks out of that group, because for like what I see on the subreddit and on the forums is that you basically, a contest like this derails everything for about 2 months. If you're not writing for that contest, it's really difficult to get seen, and that's not, I don't think we want to look at doing that for 4 months out of the year.
Yeah, I think I ran some of it too long too, but it's some growing pains. Like I said, I had very little training on these.
Yeah, the 1,000 contests create work, especially for obviously the CO team, but the technical team also ends up having to do a little more due to additional tagging work, any kind of technical requirements, stuff like that. So if we had two per year, I was I was just thinking to myself, well, maybe we have to open up like a block of 2,000, 5,000, whatever. And I'm sure we could come up with a number. And I'm sure now everyone, if they hear this, going to go, oh my God, they're going to open 2,000 at a time. But just to be clear, we're all just talking here. None of this is official. Unless I'm like official, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, nothing here is official unless we say it is. So,
yeah, and I think the average person that is actually interested in a show like this would know where you can go to follow any proposed changes to policy, especially a big one like this. Smaller policies take a month, 2 months to get implemented. If we're seriously discussing making, you know, a series get released in blocks of 2,000 skips at a time, that's going to take a while. We might have one or two contests while we're waiting on the decision.
Next contest, I don't think it's till October, because I'm taking a nice long break. I think I've earned that.
And for the record, for anyone who's listening and doesn't know where to find those things, 05 command, that's 05 instead of 05. 05command.wikidata.com is where we store all of our discussion as staff. Everything's publicly available. So if you ever think that we're just sitting behind closed doors making decisions, no, we're yelling at each other on forums making decisions, and you can certainly go and view them publicly at any time, including bans or disciplinary actions, record keeping, anything.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah, you can check your criminal record.
Yeah, you can go watch the one time Magnus was enough of a shithead to get banned back in the day.
Man, Tox banned me back in like 2012, 2013, but no one ever logged it, so I have a perfect record on chat.
You probably deserved it.
Oh, I totally deserved it. I'm not going to deny that.
I'm not sure if I was actually banned, like channel banned, but I was asked to leave for 24 hours, and I said okay. If I remember correctly, and this is my memory from like 8 years ago, so it's very spotty. I'm pretty sure at some point Bright was just messing around and saying, hey guys, ask me any question. And I think I asked him boxers or briefs, and he told me to go fuck off. And that's, I think I just kept asking, like being a jerk about it. And I think he just said, you know, take 24 hours or something like that.
Did you ever get your answer?
I did not. I was very upset.
Well, we have to bring him on
again. Yeah. Inquiring minds want to know, Darkman.
Moving over to site news, TSAT, you want to bring us up to speed? Anybody listening?
Yeah, there's not much. I just wanted to mention one of the things community outreach team does is put out a monthly newsletter about new articles, new tales, new fan art out there, and just like site news, like contests. And yeah, I mean, one thing that felt notable is that we were kind of behind on it for a long time.
Kind of.
Weren't we doing
we
the
kind of screw-
so
we
minor,
kind of
not even worth mentioning.
The pooch. Yeah, we were like 6 months behind at one point. Like, to be fair, like until recently, it was a job that really, really sucked to do. Like on top of all the sucky jobs that make the site, it was one of the worst. Like it's just a lot of grunt work. And Treader, I think, made something that makes it a lot easier to push a final version, but it's still not great. So it was basically the community outreach of a kind of the licensing hazing ritual, which is making the newbies do Roblox licensing, which bastards. Yeah, my first licensing issue before I was captain, before I was even a full member of the team, I had a license Roblox.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. You ever try to explain legal concepts to a 12-year-old who can just ignore you?
Well, now there's a bunch of people working on the monthly news, and I don't know, it's looking nice. It's
you guys have been doing an excellent job with it. Now I don't have to yell at ARD anymore.
Now, TSAT, since we brought you on as junior staff, I'm going to get on my office space here. What would you say you do around here?
SCP subreddit mod and part of CO for a couple of different things.
Oh yeah, you are on my team.
I know who you are.
I have no idea what JS are on my team, sorry.
That's cool. I do minor stuff for CO. I assemble art links, fan art from around the internet. And
now I remember you. Mm-hmm. You do a good job.
Thank you. And I've started doing introductions for like introduction posts, being like, hey, here's links to stuff you might like.
Okay, so all ARD is territory. I feel slightly less bad.
Okay.
I have a strange question. What do we call you?
I don't care. Most people say TSAT or TSAT. Some people say Dead Channel after the last two letters of my like big acronym. Whatever works. Modulum, what do people call me?
Dead Channel's probably a bad idea because that's what Yorick changed his username to.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really bizarre. I was looking at old 05 threads.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the weirdest thing is, like, Yorick's someone, like, say what you will about him. He was around long enough to know how Wikidot works. But, like, he tried to keep his nick change a secret, which lasted, like, he just came in, like, tuned it to channel. I mean, I love Neuromancer. I should be able to say that off the my tongue, but I'm not. But he's like saying, like, I'm an old user, but I don't want to be revealed. Like, which, okay, sure. But, I mean, it lasted until the moment somebody linked one of Yorick's skips.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he came in one day and was talking to me, and he was like, hey, man, it's good to see you again. I'm like, hey, man, who are you? He goes, oh, this is Yorick, but it's not a bit, like, it's a secret. And I was like, how the fuck is that a secret? But okay, dude.
It was a poorly kept secret.
I think what amused me the most with TSAT was there was a period of, I'm going to say about a month, where, and I don't think I'm alone in this, I had no idea whether you were animal, vegetable, mineral, bot, human, because, and if you haven't seen his contributions on the Reddit, both on RSCP and our dank memes from Site19, these posts are a real thing of beauty. I'm going to encourage you to take a look around and find some of those. I believe I think we have a mod post where we were announcing a couple of people, and you responded to that. I'll see if I can find it. Where did you come up with this? I don't know what to call it—an act. What was the inspiration behind it?
I don't honestly remember. I think I was—I used to post memes on the meme subreddit, dank memes from Site19, daily. Sometimes like 5 to 10 memes a day. That was like my big hobby for a while. And I was just drowning out that subreddit, drowning out everybody else's contributions. And it was a bit of a headache for the mods there because most of the memes were kind of crap. And so I was like, I don't know. I tend to like dive into one obsession at a time, and this community became that for me. And I just decided to just be less of a shitposter, essentially, and just be more useful. So I started linking things to people and started evolving the format over time. Somebody thought it was a mod because I was, sorry, a bot, because it was really consistent. And I was like, yeah, why not run with that? Have them all formatted the same way. And it just kind of became a thing.
I don't think Cactus helped matters either, because he outright introduced you as a bot.
He did.
So now that you're JS, you've stopped shitposting, but once you make OS, you start shitposting again. It's kind of like a parabola. Mm-hmm. Like users shitpost, JS do hard work, then ops and mods and admins just shitpost.
There was about a month when the usual link bot didn't work on the SCP subreddit, so I tried to do that job. And I'll be honest, I kind of burned myself out a little bit. So I've been there. I burned myself out even before becoming any kind of staff.
Oh, that does not sound like fun.
No, Marvin doesn't get enough credit, honestly. I mean, it's one of those, you get annoyed with him because he will link any number, but it's...
It always makes me happy when that happens.
Well, you're going to be happy a lot. It happens.
I am.
Probably more often than not.
My cup runneth over.
And I feel like this is worth mentioning on a staff podcast, that that bot is not technically under staff control. That is a very helpful subscriber, a user of the subreddit. He's written that bot and rewritten it in another language and then rewrote it in another language again. And it still behaves the same way. It still doesn't have any... awareness of things like things that might be years or very simple numbers like 3, but that's okay.
Do you know who runs it? Because I don't.
Yeah, the username is 1_more_minute, And it was when I first talked to him, it was written in a language that I haven't seen used in production before or since. And these days, I think it is a Python bot written with PRA, with the Python Reddit API wrapper.
Right now, Marvin is suffering from linking this one tail, or was it an SCP, that was in the SCP-2 slot for about a day. The article is gone, but whenever anyone mentions the number 2 on the subreddit, Marvin will link SCP-2, even though the page doesn't exist. We love him for his little quirks.
He has some little... I've looked at the code. He has some little things that people don't realize. He keeps a little internal counter of the number of skips that he's linked, and every time that counter is divisible by 42, he'll make a little quote or a little aside.
42, nice.
That's adorable.
Procyon, if you ever want to talk about how contests are organized, because some people just don't know where they come from, and if it's just the will of Procy that makes them appear whenever he feels like it.
This is going to sound pretty bad, but kinda, yeah. I mean, it's not just me. Any member of the CO or even users, proposals, and I'll make them do like a points and like topics and rules and stuff. I'll have them do the work. But I mean, like if they give me a good looking proposal and I have the time to slot it in, I mean, I'll certainly let someone else run a contest. I mean, I've seen it in some vague sense. Like the Doomsday contest, all the write-up, all the idea, that was ARD. I just ran it because I'm the contest, but like he was the creative force behind it. And all the contests for the rest of this year are contests other people came up with. Like I know the one in October, kind of set in stone at the moment, not yet announced, but it's something we've decided. And there's a September or November, which I can't remember what we have, but we're juggling between two things that have been proposed for me. So I'm happy to have people take.
Oh, yeah, there's
an unofficial one back in May.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and anybody can run an unofficial contest.
Yeah, there's a really hyped up one about called the Original Character Tournament happening just in the forums, organized by non-staff users, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I answered that.
Yeah, I believe that's Pepper's Ghost running that.
Yep.
That's our 4K winner, Pepper's Ghost.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, there goes my character contest.
Yeah, Pepper's Ghost is actually one of about three or four new users I've actually been really excited to read their work. I'd say like Pepper's Ghost, Cadaver Commander, and Captain Kirby have all just come out of the gate really strong. And have
Pepper's
been, like,
Ghost has been around for ages.
Yeah, he's been around since 13 or 14, I think.
Let me look that up. Is that a...
Okay, so to be fair, so for anyone who doesn't know, I was a user in 2009 till about 2012, 2013, and then I took 2 years off for the betterment of everybody. Went to college again, got my life in order, came back in 2015, much more mature, and started working with the wiki as a staff member. So anyone who was around between like 2012 and 2014, if I don't know you, because I wasn't here, thanks, I don't like you.
Yeah, he's written some good ones before. Like this wasn't his first one.
Fair enough. I guess more. I've been mostly, I think, Captain Kirby has been like somebody who every time I've seen him produce something has been really, really good. Like,
oh yeah,
Captain Kirby reminds me a lot of Absent-Minded Nihilist.
Yeah, and there was someone who came real strong out the gate.
It's always a delight to find authors that are new and that really make you excited to read stuff. Because we've been, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure everyone else would agree with me. We've been, you know, I mean, we've been staff for a long time. You can... Everything sort of starts to blend together eventually. And as you more staff work, like, you end up doing less wiki stuff. So, like, I'd say, like, when I came back, I was, like, 9-10 when I was junior staff. And now as a moderator and tech captain and project foundation lead, I'm, like, other way around, 10-90. So, like, it's really exciting to see people who make you really take notice and remind you why you work so hard.
Hey, that's exactly the point. Because there's, like, I mean, it's not as easy as it looks. Like, there's a lot of burnout in staff. Like, it's not an easy site to run. And occasionally we make it a bit harder on ourselves, but the fact remains, like, it can be real easy to forget why you're doing this.
Yeah, I think everybody's had that that moment, everybody in this room, with maybe the exception of TSAT being new staff.
Yeah, it's something I don't think really hits you until you're, like, OS, maybe approaching mod.
What, the demands of the job?
Like burnout.
Definitely the demands, yes.
Yeah.
You end up doing a lot more work than you'd expect. So from my perspective, like between meetings and administrative stuff, just like talking to my staff members on the technical team and arranging who's doing what and interviewing new staff and like programming Helen, for example, which is like not an insignificant period of time, and all of the other work that I do, plus Project Foundation stuff. Like, I'd say I spend at minimum 10 to 15 hours a week just doing wiki stuff. And that's in addition to like just being a moderator and a staff member. Like, it's not, that's just my non-wiki like maintenance work.
That's probably about accurate for me as well. Like, the past few weeks I've been spending up to 20 with the 4K contest. And I mean, obviously, I spend it in different areas than Magnus. I do a lot of licensing work. I reach, and I also like to stick my nose in a lot of policy and forward-facing enforcement, especially on chat. But I mean, there's a whole lot of different time sinks, and occasionally we have trouble filling them all.
Yeah, the work never stops. There's always something else. There's always some other thing you need to do. There's always some article, and then there's also the fact that in addition to literally everything else, and it's like, it's a staggering amount of like things you can do. Each thing individually may not be too big, but like there's always somebody, like there's people who specialize in like one function of the wiki, and they still spend, like Conwell runs deletions every day, and like,
oh yeah, but deletions are awful, and like between when I stopped doing them and now they've gotten only worse, because now you have to port critique. Like, they were miserable to do before you had to do that.
Yeah, and I don't know if people really understand that process. If you don't go to the forums and look at the actual deletion log, I had thought about this a few years ago. It's like, yeah, deletions, that shouldn't be all that big a deal, until you go look at the log and you see the scope of work involved on stuff that, you know, may have been absolutely buried. It may have been minus 35 in 24 hours. And all of that stuff gets saved. All of the critique, you know, the little summary. And Conwell does a great job with that. I'm not going to lie. I don't want that job.
Yeah, I don't envy him. He's a Conwell and Zinn. I don't know what we'd do without him.
That was the other person I was going to be like, the person that runs the wiki, basically, even though they don't, like, run it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Zinn deserves to get paid.
Yeah, forum crit is one of those jobs that there's never enough staff for it, no matter how. And there's a ton of staff on forum crit, by the way. Like, I think almost a third of staff are one of the crit teams. But there's never enough, because think of it this way. Every time anybody posts something to the wiki, there is an expectation of at least one staff member giving it a thorough critique. And that is not, that's not easy. Like, a really in-depth critique takes energy, time. And, you know, you're getting 10, 15 drafts a day. With even 10 staff members, that's 1 to 1.5 per person. And sometimes it's a lot more than 10 and 15.
I think a lot of the times, like, it's, I mean, it might be controversial, so you could cut this out. But, I mean, I think it's worth pointing out, like, how, like, especially with the forums, a whole lot of those drafts never make it to final published. Like, not even successful. A lot of them just aren't published, and a lot of people don't even respond or make edits. They just kind of drop it there like an abandoned duckling and walk away.
We have a lot of abandoned ducklings.
Yeah, so it's like, I know forum crit like often seems like it's screaming into the void sometimes.
I mean, forum critique is such a significant amount of work that, yeah, I'm going to say it was what single-handedly prompted the whole team concept, because previously it was like everybody pitches in. And then people don't pitch in. People got mad. They said, okay, I'll pitch in. And then they give, you know, objectively bad critique or stuff that didn't really, it wasn't a good look. And, you know, I think that was really more than anything where the whole team division of responsibility came into play.
I think what's also important to point out, though, is that forum criticism, and really the official forums, is the single and most important place, the best place to get real in-depth critique on an SCP article. There are all kinds of discords out there, and you can show it to your friends, but the fact is that the only place to really get experts in writing for our wiki to look at your work guaranteed is on the forums. So as much as it's kind of a pain in the ass and it takes a lot of energy, that's still the best place to go to. And you should always have a form. Like, you should never cold post something, honest to God, unless you know what you're doing. And even then, you should probably still put it on the forms.
Right. And I've sort of jokingly said that I cold post stuff. I'll just throw it up and let it sink or swim. I wouldn't even do that at this point because the sophistication of the wiki has grown significantly since my last attempt at a main list entry. I think you know, there's a good chunk of staff that don't actively write anymore. am I wrong? I think that's fairly accurate. I'd say about half.
I'm the one who's I'm particularly infamous for that. I wrote one thing to get on staff, and then I've never written again. I've been around 7-8 years.
Yeah, I wasn't lobbing stones at you. I haven't written anything on the main list since series 2. So even then, it's really not worth trying to cold post. There's nothing all that cool about it. Nobody's going to remember that you did it. All you're really doing is just increasing the chances that you've screwed something up in a really catastrophic manner.
And there's a lot of ways to screw up. Like,
sure is.
Ways people will catch if you work through the forums, but otherwise.
Guys, what's something that people wouldn't consider about being staff?
It's not a lot that staff can do that users can't. And most of the stuff we can do that users can't, we don't want to do. Like, none of the stuff we can do is fun.
Yeah, and like, a lot of good ideas for the site come from random community members who aren't staff and just suggest things and ends up in a 05 command vote thread or something. Yeah.
Well, we're always willing to hear good suggestions. Of course, we might not think your suggestion is as good as you do, but, I mean, we're certainly willing to consider anything. They actually have an entire, like, proposals section in the forums.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tag suggestion for Magnus. Oh, he's going to love that.
Those are always fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and despite being on tech team, I really don't get involved in tags, primarily because Accelerando does such a fantastic job, and really has a handle on what goes where, and I feel totally helpless in comparison. So I try to leave well enough alone. But we do have, you know, some private tech discussion where we talk about, you know, do we need this tag? People are suggesting we add, you know, this tag, and you have to consider the scope of work. It's like, well, to add that, that's probably going to be all of the ones in this tag and this tag are candidates. So we've got a list of, 300 pages that meet that criteria. Okay, let's split that out and get started on it.
Oh man, I hadn't even considered that. Jesus.
Yeah, Accelerando is pretty impressive. If you scroll to the bottom of any page on the wiki, click history, and see who tagged it, it's usually Accelerando.
Yeah, like, and an 85-95% chance.
Yeah, as a bot-like humanoid, as people perceive me, I just want to say kudos.
Bot recognized, Bob.
Yeah.
I want to circle back on 4K. What were your guys' favorite entries out of the bunch? I know there were some really worthy candidates, and I think a lot of them did get the attention they deserved. I'm just curious if there's any that, you know, you guys considered a sort of an underrated entry.
Vivax's, which is let me check, 4600. It's at 5 right now, and that's just a miserable injustice. It's got slick presentation, it's beautifully done, it's interesting, and there are some hinkiness with the voting that I won't go into beyond that, but I mean, it deserves a much higher rating. It's very attractively laid out. Like, I mean, that's not the weird thing to say, but like, look at the article, look in the collapsibles, and you'll see what I mean. Like, it uses something I've never seen. Yeah, Adobe Spark, which I've never seen done in an SCP before. It's real neat looking, and but yeah, it's oh wait, it's at a plus 11 now, which is still miserable. But overall, I think the right man won. Honestly, like a lot of times, I've disagreed with the contest winners. Like I don't do anything to change them. Like I just feel someone else should have won. But I think Taboo was legitimately has a claim to be the best of the entries. Not that the other ones weren't fantastic, but Taboo's just excellent.
I haven't actually read a single 4,000 yet.
He's reading it.
Yes.
Even this one that I helped helped make. I think it's 49.9 right now. Yeah, that one. I helped with CSS and make the little paper things actually look like paper and logo and stuff.
I've read less than half. This is my shameful confession time. I have not read, not a single contest have I read all the entries in. Like, I mean, I'm so busy with just my staff work, I don't read much on the wiki, which is true for a lot of mods. We, like, read where we can, but, like, there's only so much time you can spend on this site, and a lot of time when you're a high-level staff member, like the amount of time you're willing to spend on the site all gets done on your staff work.
A lot of people end up just looking at stuff that other people tell them about.
Yeah, that's the way it works for me, usually, or if I see something interesting in the... I keep an eye out, at least, like, But yeah, I didn't read them. I moved every single one of them by hand. God, that was a miserable 3 days. But
yeah, and people didn't see the behind the scenes of that, of everybody trying to claim their preferred number. So this turned into waiting on 72, by my count, 72 different people to give their, what was it, first, second, and third choice of number.
Yeah, I will give credit where it's due. Like, about like 56 of them like had it in by the time everything was set, and like 64 of them had them in by the first day, and then it was just narrowing down the rest of them. But yeah, it was basically like I hadn't even thought about all the work I'd have to do once the contest closed, because I was thinking like, oh, the contest is over, I can go on my break now. But nope, I basically had like a 3-day progressive breakdown handling the results. And there's still crap I need to do. They're like minor crap, but I'm not even done.
I'm seeing a couple of broken links on the contest hub right now.
Yes, some have been deleted. I'm leaving them up for posterity.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, one of the ones that I saw out of the contest, it ended up placing 19th. This is now 44:45, called The Day the Music Died.
Yes. I think Adriatica was literally the last person to claim their slot.
And I think that was her first SCP ever, right?
It absolutely was.
She'd been on first-time entrance.
She'd been on the wiki for a day, I think less than a day, and posted that 44:45.
Nice.
That's what makes you feel good as someone running contests. Like when you're obviously all the obvious people come out. Which, don't get me wrong, I appreciate their contributions. Whenever somebody's posted work to the wiki, especially excellent work, that's something I welcome. But like, the best thing is seeing new people come and post great work. Like, mm-hmm. And that's just something that feels good inside.
Yeah, because it can be very intimidating.
Yeah. I mean, we can be a hard community to get into. I think we've we kind of denied it for a while, but I think we've started to come to realize it, and we're trying to make that better. There's a lot of overhead to come in and be a successful member right off the bat. Like, obviously, you can like fail your way into success. I did that. Most of staff did that. But there's a very rare people, like it's not even the standard we hope people do, come in and just do everything perfect right on.
Yeah, and I think there aren't a lot of first-time entries that really just knock it out of the park. My go-to for that is 1981, Reagan cut up while talking.
Yeah, I was just about to say, DigiWizard.
Man. Yep. Post what, and where's 1981 these days? Top 10?
It's gotta be. I don't see it mentioned as much as it was, but I mean, it's let me see the rating. It's God, where does the time go? I remember when once having free being 1,000.
Yep, I remember making that post on the Reddit congratulating him. yeah, it is just, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. It is at number 12, 1,400, plus 1,456.
Good God, we have that many over 1,000?
We've got, it looks like about 30 of them over 1,000.
Christ.
Of them, it looks like about 29 of them are skips, and then there is black white gray.
the obligatory token tail that we allow to be highly rated.
This is crazy perspective, because I think we both remember 173, you know, banging on the door to get to plus 1,000. We are probably 2 or 3 days from the things Dr. Bright is not allowed to do at the Foundation, breaking 1,000.
Oh, God. Jesus. I'm surprised that hasn't hit it already, honestly.
It's right there. It's at 990.
I remember. I was one of the people who got that lock. Which makes me sound like a buzzkill, but it was a like there's a lot of fun stuff on that page, but like what most people reading it don't see is that like stuff like that, like the collab logs and especially Bright's list, like there's a lot of funny stuff there, but it was also kind of like a drain for all the lowest quality like entries, like the least effort crap would end up there.
Yeah, and it goes back to sort of how things worked in series one when like Magnus was saying things were far more collaborative.
Yeah, I get what you're meaning. I get what you're saying. Like we'd all like help out and look after pages and.
Yeah, and those old collaborative entries were a real drain on staff resources. You know, pretty much everybody had to look at not only recent recent posts, but also recent changes, like a hawk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Fred, but only recent posts there. And I guess that's how I'm going to separate new users from old users from now on. Like, that used to be policing that. It used to spam up the most recent pages. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, because of Wikidot's, let's politely say, quirky architecture, like, discussion pages have discussion pages, and one of those discussion pages, one of those meta-discussion pages was kind of the wiki's shitposting place before we had any of their Reddits or anything. And eventually we had to lock it because it just got terrible.
You know, it's crazy. We're coming up on 1 year where nobody has managed to delete Thread.
I was the last person.
Were you really?
I figured out how to fix it myself, but I remember it was last October. I was out getting a pumpkin. And somebody, I'll explain for all of you at home how this happens. I was out home getting a pumpkin, and mods have powers to delete posts in addition to just and move stuff around that a normal operational staff or junior staff don't. So there's kind of a bottleneck when crap needs to be deleted like right away. So or threads moved or renamed. So somebody needed a thread deleted like urgently. I forget what it was, something. But this is Wikidot's fault, not mine. Like. Deleting a thread, like, normally for deleting anything on the wiki, like a page, you scroll down to the bottom, it's an options and delete. For a thread, all that stuff is at the... Oh, wait, no, it isn't. Yeah, I think so. Let me check. I should have checked this before I started talking.
You're going to go through this and realize there's nobody to blame but yourself.
Oh, yeah, I'm feebly. No, I win. I'm right. You can move threads from the top bar under the summary, but like if you try to delete it, which happens at the bottom, and like mods delete more pages than they move threads, just because there's a lot more pages that need to be deleted than threads that need to be moved. If you're doing it on autopilot and you go through the page leasing process, it deletes the page that has the line of code that has the forum on it. Like, right. Any thread, you can delete the entire forum. That's how Wikidot's designed. Like, our entire forum works because of, like, one single module on a hidden page.
Yeah, this used to happen a lot. This happened every couple of months. And the result isn't immediately clear as to what you just did, because the forum still looks okay until you click any particular discussion page. Any particular thread, and it says, this page doesn't exist.
And... Or when you be like me and go choose your pumpkin, and then 19 starts burning down. But
oh, you abandoned it after that? You didn't realize what you'd done?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to like check to make sure I deleted the forum every single time. I realized quite quickly when someone pinged me because I had been obviously the one who like claimed the moving the thread task. So like everybody knew whose fucking fault it was. Like, the way I did it, I think there's multiple methods. I recreated the page. That's what I did. And then I put that the forum module on, and then everything was hunky-dory. And it took me like 15 minutes, because Wikidot doesn't explain this anywhere. And like the people who know how to do it are people who've done it themselves.
And then everything was back and fine, right?
Yeah, everything's back and fine. Like I think there's a way. I don't know how. I've never personally done it. I think there's a way to like really, really fuck it up. I think Photosynthetic managed to do it like way back before I was staffed that required something deeper. But that's the way it most often happens. And every time you do that, Thread reopens. So because Thread is just a mystery.
Yeah, that was for a long time about the longest running in joke on the site. If you knew how to get to it or not.
Yeah, because the fun thing about Thread, like when you're looking at a new post, if you click on the thread title, which is just titled Thread, which is why we call it that, like it would take you to a blank page. So everybody would be baffled and confused, and all the cool people would be like posting in Thread and clogging up most recent posts. It was a pit. Some people wrote poetry in there, though.
From time to time, someone new to the site who's just looking for critique will accidentally end up on the thread and think that staff are just making fun of their draft that they posted with just weird memes and stuff.
You know my favorite thing? It's when you know the username display module?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I will take credit as a newbie. I fell for this. For those of you who don't know, like, on Wikidot, there's a like little code snippet that if you put it in your article, it'll display the username of the person reading it.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, with like for anybody who's reading it, so it's like dynamic. But like every like few times a month, there assumes an article is just shit talking them. Like I'll give an example so people can see it. SCP TTKU Jazz. It has it at the very bottom. If you want to see what I'm looking at, I can understand how that'd be confusing for a newbie. And I fell for it because Salabasama wrote an article. I think it was Sal. No, it was Salmon Corbett. Who wrote an article with that in it, and I assumed he'd like written an awful.j about me and left it in this sandbox to lurk for years, and then I was looking through it, I'm like, oh crap, why does Sal hate me? And then it turns out he has no idea who I am.
I guess so that's better.
I have made all your embarrassing mistakes, don't we? We all have.
My Wikidot username used to be my actual name, so I got caught out by that real good first time I saw that module.
Oh yeah, mine's Procyon Lotor, so like it's not, it isn't exactly in keeping with immersion. Yeah, it's a neat little thing.
Yeah.
So let's talk briefly about Project Foundation, which is the moniker we've had for about, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years, maybe longer, for the potential new home for the wiki. It's had various the priority placed on it over the years has waxed and waned, and these days we're into it full swing. I think more than we ever have in the past. Magnus as sort of heading up that effort. What are you seeing with that these days?
So yeah, this is actually the third iteration of Project Foundation, and what I'm seeing now is, so we took an approach this time of, instead of just sort of going for it and starting to build things, we're starting from a real software development approach where I made a plan and I said very vaguely what we wanted to accomplish and in what order. And it's things like find out what requirements we need, find a platform that fits those requirements, build said platform. They're very general and meant to be filled in as we determine them. And the reason we did it this way is because we don't want to put ourselves in a place where we have to do it a certain way and then it doesn't work. And I will freely admit, as much as I'm a professional developer and I do this for a living, I am not, I mean, I'm relatively young for, you know, I'm 30. So it's not like it's not like I've led teams for 20 years or whatever. So what I want to do and I would focus on is let's accomplish the things in the right order. And in this case, right now where we're at is we've just nominated a treasurer for the actual project, and that was Dexano. We already finished the phase where we asked people to sign up for recruitment. I've got a big list of people who volunteered, and I will continue to take volunteers and contact people with their with their recruitment stuff. But our next phase, and the thing we're doing as soon as we approve or not Dexanote is we're going to start gathering the actual requirements for the project. And that's things as basic as able to write wiki pages, voting, something like the staff may want different things, like the ability to silence a subthread, or like maybe the ability to staff post on something without having to type it out. I don't know, whatever. Little stuff like that. But the long and short of it is, Project Foundation is happening slowly and will take a long time, and that's by design. Because if we try to do it fast, no one has enough time in their life to just blaze through it. Maybe a couple of people have offered to do that. But at this point, because of the way the wiki works, we need to do this right. So the Project Foundation plan is available on O5, and you can see where we're at, and the Project Foundation forms are open. But that's sort of the Cliff's Notes version of Project Foundation and where we're at.
And I think I was one of those that said, yeah, let's just jump in. Let's just do it.
And I understand like that feeling. Everybody wants to start building something, but like it's the not fun stuff that makes a project work.
And I think one of the issues with the tech team in particular is that we do have really some really fairly skilled programmers. None of them share a language.
That is absolutely true, yes. I'm in the U.S., and Ankwitzer, who is no longer on the tech team because he's just sort of had life stuff come up, is in Eastern Europe, I believe, and Kyocera is in Germany.
I actually meant more already programming language, but that too, and that actually...
Oh, yeah.
Hal's pretty good at English, I'm going to say.
They're all fairly good. They all speak English okay, honestly.
It's an English wiki.
But no, that's actually absolutely true as well. I specialize in Java, Kyocera does, I think, C#. I think you do mostly web development, right, as well?
Yeah, I do PHP, Python. PHP is what I'm best at. But you know, we run into that. I can build a platform that would work, and I'd hand it over, and you would say, okay, this would have been a lot easier if this was in a language that, you know, somebody other than just you knew how to write.
Yeah, that's always the challenge of software projects. I've actually very explicitly said, I don't care what language you write this in. I will learn the language you need, or at least I will find people who can learn the language you need. I specialize in Java, and I would love to write it in Java. But if PHP or C# or fucking Haskell is the best solution that fits our needs, then we'll write it in fucking Golang for all I care. It's about what serves the project. And that's always my watchword for Project Foundation, because it's not what I want. And I've always said, in fact, if somebody else can do the job of managing the project better than me, elect them. I have no ego in this project.
That's the Kanye West School of Management, I believe. That's about all we've got time for today. This has been the O5 Command Show. On behalf of Procyon Lotor, Dr. Magnus, and TSAT, this is Blue Soul saying goodbye.